Welcome back, everyone. This is Dr. Estrada. I'm going to talk a little bit right now about some of the work I've been doing with this question of the name or the title Deuterocanonical. So I have in studio today my son, who I just wanted to show some of this technology that his dad is doing on a daily basis. So those of you who are behind the scenes are seeing this sort of in real time, raw here. So, you know, I've been working to try to get this episode on the name Deuterocanonical. I did not. Do you know where the name Deuterocanonical comes from, Paul?
Something with the canon or something.
It does. That's a good point. Yeah, so we have the word Deuteronomy, which means second law. Deuterocanonical means second canon, literally. Deutero is the Greek word for second. And so the term deuterocanonical was invented in the 16th century by a man named Sisto de Siena, who was a Dominican priest. And he wrote a book called the Biblioteca Sacra. And in that book, he used for the first time the word, as far as we can tell, deuterocanonici, as the adjective deuterocanonical, referring to books, the books that entered in at a later time in the history of the canon. And this has to do with both the Old and New Testament canon. So it's an interesting development. I'm going to be talking about it in the show. And, you know, right now we're sort of giving our audience a behind the scenes look here at how this is working in real time. So let me pull this back here just a second so we can get our volume back up. So yeah, the reason why we're talking about it, and we'll talk about it in the show this weekend, I think we're going to do it this weekend, is because some non-Catholic scholars have sort of said, well, is the fact that they're deuterocanonical mean that they're like the books are of an inferior status, or that they're like not as good? Or I just was watching a video this past few days ago, and this person said that, Paul. And so I was thinking to myself, where in the world would they get that idea? And looking at the history, I think I know where they got it from. So
where are the two batches of books? Like the first batch came in, which would be the half the canon, three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
The Deuterocanonicals,
yeah. Yeah, Paul, you probably, the mic can't hear my son, but yeah, you're right. It's two batches of books, essentially, broadly speaking. The first batch, which was accepted rather easily, and the second batch, which had a more difficult time getting included into the list of sacred books. But yeah, that's the point, and we're going to talk about that. So people sometimes, when they hear the word deuterocanonical, some Protestants, definitely not all, have used the term in a pejorative sense, that these are second-rate books and thus not, you know, should not be taken seriously. But we're going to talk a little bit about that. Right. That's a good question. Yeah, the church did not feel that the canon was complete without them. That's right, buddy.
And so Protestants, when they think that they're like second class, or they're like second hand,
mm-hmm.
And they're not that good. Why? Because they don't even accept our authority on most things. So why do they say that should be respected? Because of, like, does that imply that they respect other stuff?
Yeah, they say that these books should not be, so my son was asking the question, should the fact that they're called second canon, does that mean they're not respected by the Protestants? They're definitely not respected by the Protestant world as a whole. Various Protestant scholars, though, do respect the deuterocanonical books. They see their historical value as a testament or a witness to what Jews believed in the Second Temple period. That is a period between like 517, more or less, down to the 70 AD. But yeah, the majority of the Protestant world refers to these books as apocryphal books that just contain legends or spurious false information or second-rate information. But yeah, that's why, that's what the term means, apocryphal, means to Protestant. When they hear the word apocryphal, that's what it means to them. Something of inferior quality. Yeah, definitely. Last question, buddy, because then we don't want to keep going and keep all our listeners on, but go ahead. What was your question?
So it's actually one and a half questions. It's like,
go ahead. Yeah, so what are those books? So these books, according to the way Sista de Siena described them, these are the books that had a difficult time getting into the canon. So these include not only the seven disputed books that we've talked about, like Maccabees and Judith and stuff, but also other books like Esther, and I think he mentions the Song of Songs and some other books. But yeah, and those would also be the books of the New Testament that had a difficult time getting into the canon, books like James, 2nd and 3rd John, 2nd Peter, Revelation, Hebrews, James.
Revelation had a
book? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the book of Revelation had a...
But you think that would be the first book on the list that would get in, right?
Well, you would think, huh? You would think the book of Revelation would be one of the first to get in, huh? But no. No, it had a real tough time, especially in the Church of the East. But we'll talk about that in another episode. But that's all I wanted to say, because I wanted to give our audience some behind-the-scenes footage to the program that we're planning for this Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe you should join us. What do you think? That is the question. Who's going to watch our sisters? But we'll find out. That's going to do it for today. Thanks, everyone, for watching this behind-the-scenes episode. We'll be back to talk more about the word deuterocanonical. Talk to you in a minute, or you'll see me in shortly, because I'm going to put all these videos together. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.